Stephen Bassett is our guest on the line from the Washington, D.C. area. And you spend a lot of time these days in New York, Stephen. You're going to be up there again this weekend.
Yeah, I've been up a few times to speak at various events. I'm going back up to speak at the Culture of Contact in the 19th of October.
You got any other places that you're going?
Yeah, definitely. I'll be at the speaking at the Crass Retrieval Conference, Ryan Woods Conference in Vegas, November 7, 8, and 9.
Good.
And the website on that is ufoconference.com. So these, man, that'll wrap it up for me for the year. We're hoping, of course, that we'll have our 5th X conference next April 17, 18, 19.
Yeah, what is the latest on that?
Well, it's booked and reserved for the hotel. I am concerned, though, of course, that if the economic situations continue to deteriorate, that it may be very difficult to get people to come. Particularly in spending money, those particularly coming out of coming a distance and flying in and what have you. So we'll just cross our fingers and see. Now, obviously, if disclosure were to take place or major events were to occur, I think that would override, virtually trump any financial reality. So we're planning to have that conference. It's up on the website. You can register now, x-conference.com. Register both the hotel and the conference listing. We have a couple of speakers.
You're going to have it at the same place in Maryland?
Oh, yeah, same hotel, Gaithersburg Hilton, Gaithersburg, Maryland, outside of the Beltway of Washington, D.C. A few speakers have been signed up. I'm not in any hurry. But Jeff Peckman, the activist
from Denver.
Who ended up making it on the David Letterman show, will be there. Art Campbell, who is a researcher, a longtime researcher.
Yeah, I know Art, and we did a show with the Eisenhower story.
Right.
And he has live witnesses.
Yes, indeed. Richard Dolan will be there, hopefully talking about the second volume of his trilogy on UFOs in the national security state. And, of course, it'll be hosted by Cheryl Jones. But, again, there's another 16 or so people that are going to have to be signed up over the next couple months, so I'll be working on that.
I'm sure we'll be talking to you about that. Let's talk right now about what you really got planned here. What's your plan?
This is the big deal. October 31st, we launched the Million Facts on Washington. And the concept is really quite simple. We want to get 1 million letters primarily, which are the superior way. If you want to get a politician's attention, you send them a letter, handwritten, a couple of paragraphs, just make your point, sign it, put an address and phone number if you really want to impress them. But if you can't do that, you can fax. But, you know, there's only so many faxes the machines can handle a day, and sometimes it's hard to get through, but fax is fine. And then email is better than nothing. But emails don't have nearly the impact that you might think, and you can delete them. You can delete hundreds of thousands of emails in a couple of minutes. So, you know, if someone wants to send all three, that's great, but a letter is the key. To promote the idea of people sending a letter, fax or email, to the president-elect starting November the 5th, the day after the election, assuming we know, let's hope we do. And this letter would be to incite the president, the new president, to three key things we're looking for in the letter to be noted. One is to demand a full briefing on the UFOET subject from the military intelligence and simply fire anybody that won't tell you. In other words, they say, look, you don't have a need to know, you're fired. Mr. President, I'm sorry, but you don't have classification, you're fired. Until you finally get somebody that says, okay, right? He needs to get everything. He needs to know it all. Secondly, to press for the Congress to hold hearings for the witnesses that are coming forward to get their testimony and record in front of the public. And third, to simply disclose the ET presence, which the people inside the military intelligence community could confirm to him quite easily. So this is the idea, is to get people to take a few minutes in October and write up a few paragraphs. Nothing, it doesn't be huge. Long is not better. Just getting the point across is all you need. It just doesn't help to make it 5 pages. Half a page, 3 paragraphs, make the point. That's it. It's the number. It's the quantity that really has the impact. To put those words down and put a stamp on an envelope and just put it aside, and then on November the 5th, when you know who the president is, quickly address it, mail it. This is not a big investment. It's 42 cents in 15, 20 minutes of time. If they do, and we can front load a substantial number of correspondences into the president-elect's office, which, as it happens, will be their senatorial office. There'll still be senators through the end of the year, And so right after the election, their senatorial office is where you would send correspondence. This is not going to the White House. It's not going to the current president. It's going to the president-elect, their senatorial office. And if we do that, the press, I will work on my end to make sure the press knows this is coming. And they'll be down there looking for this mail. And if it's turning up, you'll be getting photographs of all these bags of mail, and they'll open them, and they'll be passed around, and some of them will be printed up. One of the cool things about this is that when a campaign is over and a president's elected, a lot of people send money to the campaign contributions into the president, into the party. So every single letter gets opened because any one of them could have money in them.
I hadn't thought about that.
That's true. And so this will be create quite a stir, and the media will write it up, and then that media coverage will be used to continue to promote the concept through November, December, and keep the correspondences coming, so we could hit our goal as 1 million.
Between
November the 5th and inauguration day.
Conceivably, maybe I'm even a little too conservative on this, which is hard to believe that I'm conservative on anything, but there's 70, 77, 5, 78, maybe 80 million people who really believe UFOs for sure, and probably twice that many that are open to it. So, you see statistics, 70% of the population, 300 million, that would be over 200 million.
Actually, I have a pretty good handle on the numbers based on the polling.
Good.
Let me just give you the breakdown.
Fill me in.
These are fairly close numbers. I mean, I'm not just pulling these out of the air. There are 225 million Americans that are age of 18 and older in the United States. According to the Roper 2002 poll, 56% or 126 million believe UFOs are real. 80% in the Gallup 1997 poll, or 180 million people, believe the government is hiding the truth about it. And in the Roper 2002 poll, 14%, 31 million, said that they have had or know someone who's had a close encounter of the first, second, or third kind. These are huge numbers.
So, we just took the 31 million.
Yeah.
And they wrote a letter.
Yeah, again, our goal is 1 million. I can assure you that that's more than enough. There's a formula that they apply in this town. I don't know currently what the number is, but I can...
What did it used to be?
Well, I don't know. I know there's a formula, and I know it's a multiple, and what I mean by that is if they get a letter...
Yeah, it means so much. Just like...
It really represents X number of people.
We do that in broadcasting.
20 too. Times, 30, I don't know. But a million letters would correspond to 15, 20, 30, 40 million people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's huge, and it's massive. But to put this in perspective, in 1976, Jimmy Carter, who was a truthful but somewhat naive gentleman, ran for president and didn't think twice about mentioning one point or another that he'd had a sighting, a fairly strong sighting in 69 that he had actually reported to the International UFO Bureau, I think was the name, in 1973. And so obviously the interest in UFOs has always been high in America, going all the way back to the 50s. So he was asked about it, and then he was asked, well, would you release all the information in the government's hands if you became president? And he said yes. Well, as a result of that, he got about 10,000 letters that came into the White House, and he had to assign people to handle them, which is, because even 10,000 is a pretty big number.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of those letters you can actually read in a book called UFO Politics at the White House.
Larry Bryant.
And I recommend people get that book from Amazon or bookstore or whatever.
Yeah.
And you can see how serious they were, and some mm-hmm. of them were quite long, in-depth, but nevertheless, there were 10,000 letters. And as a result of this, again, Mr. Carter knew how naive he was, but he actually initiated a study on extraterrestrial phenomena in the very first months in the White House. And oddly enough, coincidentally enough, at the very same time, his administration was approached by Alfred Weber, who was working at the Stanford Research Institute, and he wanted to do a study, and obviously, since they were already started one, they said, fine, do that too. Well, the fact is that the military intelligence community was in no way going to allow disclosure to take place in 1977. I think, though I cannot prove, that there was a pretty firm policy that until the Cold War was over, there would be no extraterrestrial disclosure, period. So here Jimmy Carter has started this up in 1977. and that wasn't going to fly. Well, they were able to, the Department of Defense closed down the SRI study immediately. That never went anywhere. The presidential study was a little tougher. I mean, you can't totally tell a president to pound sand, but they went passive-aggressive. They wouldn't cooperate. The CIA, which was at the time run by George Bush, would not cooperate. NASA would cooperate. The military wasn't particularly cooperative. And so it got shuttled over to the, I think, the House Science and Technology section, and the thing was just sort of given some lip service and allowed to die a natural death without anything happening. Though Marcia Smith, a dedicated public servant, civil servant, did write a well-meaning conclusion to the study called UFO Enigma that has some value, but nothing, it wasn't promoted, nothing was going to come of it. This was just saving face, right? And that was 1977. Now, it's 31 years later. The embargo is still in place. Other nations are breaking ranks. There's ETs all over the place. The evidence is piled up to the ceiling, and we've got witnesses pouring out like crazy. It's time to end this. So I'm saying, look, 10,000 letters in 77 could do that. A million correspondents, it's over. There's just no way that they could pursue this embargo beyond the first couple of months of the next administration. So what it comes down to is this. If the American people could collectively act at this moment, knowing full well that a single letter doesn't accomplish anything, you can send a letter to the White House, who cares, a letter to your congressman, get a stupid response back. I know that. Everybody knows that. Just like one vote doesn't make a lot of difference. But we go and vote because we know that our fellow countrymen are also voting, and the collective actually moves the state forward and changes history many times. And so we're promoting this extensively and trying to convince people that if they write that note to the president-elect, have it ready, stamped, and then address it on November the 5th and drop it in a box, that they're not going to be alone, that there's going to be hundreds of thousands of others in the country going to do the same thing. And that letter, those letters, the collective of those letters, is going to literally change history and could, I think, result in them knowing the truth, or at least to know that ET presence exists and is here by the spring of next year. Now, that's a hell of a return on your investment. It's a time for them to act collectively. The American people have not been acting collectively enough, which is one of the reasons we're in the trouble we're in.
That's true. You know, if you look back in 1776 when the people were in the streets, I don't think it was all that many. Percentage-wise, in Vietnam, probably less than 2 million demonstrators over the history of the war, but they did make an imprint. And if I'm telling you, if Obama or McCain, either one, get a million letters in their Senate office building, even though they know it's an orchestrated event.
Well, orchestrated, that's not quite true. It is an organized event.
Okay.
Orchestrated, it gets into another area, which I won't go, and that is the scripted letters.
Yeah.
You see this, where an organization creates a script, right, a template letter, and basically says, everybody just take that, cut and paste it, sign it, and send it in.
You're suggesting people use their own ability and words to write?
Well, yeah, they discount those because they're too easy to fake, to mass generate.
Right.
And there's, you can just sign them, right? You can have the same person just sign tons of them.
So
I won't do that. And it doesn't have the same impact. When they get, you know, even 20,000 letters that are lasered on the same issue and asking for the same thing, that are coming clearly from 20,000 different American citizens, this gets their attention. And this is what you've got to do. So organized, yes. Contrived, no, not at all. And believe me, it will have dramatic impact.
Do you have a suggestion what they put in the letter?
Well, at the website,
I guess they're simpler, a little better.
Factsonwashington.org.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a lot of information there, but enough to get the point across.
Okay. I think I'm going to start urging everybody to write these letters on every show.
Well, I have been very gratified that all of my media contacts, and I've had many, have been extremely positive about this, which is why I've already done, this is the 25th interview I think I've done. Jerry, I've got 9 more already booked, and I'll probably do 100 by the end of December. I'm getting a tremendous amount of support. People like this idea. They think it'll work. It's not a lot of effort, but yet it could have extraordinary results. But the three key points that I have on the website, factsonwashington.org, that need to be, one or more need to be in any note that's sent to the president-elect, are these. One, the new president should demand and receive a full briefing by his military services and intelligence agencies regarding the extraterrestrial presence and related phenomena. I don't think that's inappropriate. This idea that presidents really don't need to be briefed on matters of great importance because they're elected is crap, and the people that think that way inside the military intelligence community have got to be replaced. Point number two, the new president should support convening congressional hearings to take testimony from scores of former military and agency employees regarding extraterrestrial phenomena. And then the major point, the key point number three, the new president should formally acknowledge to the American people the extraterrestrial presence, which of course would be the disclosure event. And then whatever else they want to throw in there, these are the key points that need to be in these letters. Brief is better, not long. Don't get into long harangues about other stuff. Don't mix it with other issues. Just keep it straight to the point. That's it. This is what we want, and we want it right away.
Stephen Bassett is our guest. We'll be right back, and we're going to wrap this up. We've got another quarter hour to go. And we'll discuss in detail the ramifications of this. I think it's a great idea, Stephen. This could work on a lot of issues, but UFOs, I think, actually has a built-in audience already. You mentioned the stats earlier. A lot of
it
people.
It also has a lot of upside. I mean, there are a lot of issues out there, but it's, you know, some please stop doing this terrible thing.
But this is one that everybody can get behind, regardless if they're Republican, Democrat, conservative, or liberal, I think.
And there is one very significant reason. There is one very significant reason that people need to keep in mind why they should invest this 20 minutes of their time. And that is, we are very much convinced, the most of the people I work with are pretty much convinced, that the United States has been working on understanding the propulsion and energy systems of these vehicles, which they have obtained a number of from crashes and possibly from shooting some down. And they've been working on these technologies in underground facilities, mostly in the West, with unlimited funding for 60 years. And there's evidence they have made considerable progress, including building their own versions of them. And these two technologies, the antigravitic propulsion type technology and the energy technology, which was clearly transcendent, quantum field, subfield, whatever the hell, let me put it this way, it's generating a hell of a lot of power and it's not burning oil or coal, that these technologies could change everything if we could get them into the public arena, if we could use them to address the huge problems we're facing. Dropping the cost of energy would be a massive boost to the economy. It would increase business profits. It would generate tax revenues. It would create new businesses and new developments. It would also provide great relief to the rest of the world, which we would provide by making that technology available, thus dramatically increasing our standing in the world. These techs are not available to us for one reason and one reason only. The government knows and has known that they could not bring these technologies forward without acknowledging the ET presence, and they weren't ready to do that. And so the technologies are hostage to the truth embargo. So anybody that likes the idea of maybe 75 cent a gallon gas again, or maybe heating or air conditioning their home for $5-6 a month, if they like that idea, they get to write a letter. When this tech is revealed, it won't suddenly be put into use. It will take time to develop, because, you know, there may be additional development needed. Of course, we'll have the intellectual resource of the human race to apply, and not just a selected group of government scientists primarily dealing with weaponology. It will take some time to restructure our infrastructure to integrate them into the system. In the meantime, we'll continue to use coal and oil and nuclear, but the cost will go down. Knowing where things are going, the cost of oil will drop dramatically, and as a result, we'll see tremendous relief pretty quickly. This is just a short distance away. If you can simply write a letter to the president, that technology simply cannot be sequestered. There is no justifiable reason to do it. I don't care. I've never heard anything. Oh, well, no, it'll be weaponized. So what? That risk is true of every tech we have, right? You have to control it. You have to be prudent. You have to make sure that it's not misused. But the idea that, oh, what, millions are going to starve and we're going to have wars over oil because you're afraid somebody will weaponize? Well, it's being weaponized. In fact, we may very well have some kind of a very concern that we have a ET technology hidden weapons race going on. If there are other nations that have crash vehicles, it's possible that they're trying to weaponize this technology. But this is a weapons race, unlike the last one we had, the nuclear arms race. Well, we don't even know what's going on, thanks to the truth embargo. This is all bad. I mean, this is all a recipe for catastrophe. The founding fathers, if they knew this was going on, would retch. I mean, they would all get together, collectively retch. This isn't America. This isn't what we're about. This isn't what the American people should be expecting. The secret empire is out of control, needs to be reformed and pared back. There's a lot of work to do, but for now, all we need to focus on is one thing. The paradigm shift occurs at the moment the extraterrestrial presence is acknowledged by the world governments. Then we can go forward. Until that event happens, we're stuck. Now, in order to get that event happen, you need to apply the right amount of pressure at the right point at the right time, and that time is just after this next major election. The point is the office of the president-elect at the Senate office of the president-elect. And the pressure is not having to spend a fortune to go to Washington, D.C. and trot up and down the mall there and get wet and dirty and muddy, which is the traditional way to voice. Incredibly expensive to do. Don't have to do it. We have a fully integrated, organized internet campaign underway that can, if people will just do it, put a million letters into this town between November the 5th and November the 15th, or at least put a lot of letters into this town, which would then lead to more exposure and ultimately, we hope, a million correspondences by the inauguration day on the 20th. That is more than enough to cement the deal and get disclosure.
Well said, Stephen Bassett. Hold on, we'll be right back. I'm Jerry Pippin.
Hi, this is Rod C. Davis. I have a question. Do you love to travel? Then you need to check out YTV's weekly travel deals and steals. Just go to the Travel Store and More banner, click on the Business and Vacation Travel link, and then sign up for the Deals and Steals newsletter for great deals every week to America's favorite vacation spots. And while you're logged on, you can send flowers to that special person, buy your perfect car, buy tickets to attractions, book an exotic hunting or fishing trip, set up a honeymoon registry, and much more. Just click on the extras link and take advantage of YTB's huge purchasing power that saves you money. And if you'd like to save a lot of money on your travel, then check out the Travel Business Opportunity link and find out how you could earn a commission each and every time that you book a trip. You can be sure that Travelocity, Orbitz, and Expedia won't do that. Click on the banner and bookmark the page for your future use. You can save money and make money at the same time. Check us out.
Stephen Bassett is our guest, and it's interesting, Stephen, that you mentioned the fact that 42 cents is all we have to do to get involved, and we could change the world if we've got enough people there.
Absolutely. It's right there for us to do. It's not hard.
How did you come up with this idea? I guess just
being picked around. Thinking about how can we advocate? What more can we do? And I knew about the Carter thing, and I knew about the 10,000.
Speaking about presidents, it's hard for me to believe that these presidents would put up with people telling them it's none of their business.
They do. They do. Presidents don't have all the power a lot of people think they do.
Of course they don't.
And they come in and they're dealing with very deep, entrenched career people, particularly in military intelligence.
And one of those things in government, as you know, is the lag. We change ideology, but you've already had a different administration appointing people into bureaucratic positions for 10, 20 years.
Look, we have a loyal military. I certainly the military above ground, above black, is incredibly loyal and very honorable, and we've had no problems there. One of the great successes of the American trajectory has been the fact that we've had a loyal military, never had any serious risk of the military invading our politics. As you move into the black world, it becomes a little murkier, quote unquote. But I'm not saying these people are evil, and I'm sure they believe they're doing the right thing, but it's simply out of balance. It's out of whack. The Cold War was an incredibly expensive, extraordinary event. The ET presence turning up at the same time at the beginning in the 40s was enormously difficult to deal with. It's created all these imbalances, and things are just out of control. We need to bring things back under control, which means we need open government, transparent government, reform intelligence community. We need the truth to be absolutely predominant, no more in loco parentis government, where the government treats us as children. We need the people to act as adults if they don't want to be treated as children. Step up, step to the plate. If they want, increased health care, then act collectively and get it. If they want arms reduction, act collectively and get it. If they want to know the truth of the ET presence, act collectively and get it. All this is doable. We're still a free country by and large. We've got massive tools of networking, the internet, email, huge networking communities like Facebook. By the way, in addition to launching multiple press releases on October the 1st, plus contacting hundreds of sites for banner links, we launched a page on a group page on Facebook called Million Facts on Washington, and seeded dozens of other groups with links to it. And we're hoping to build a viral campaign within this Facebook, where friends of friends of friends are getting tuned in to this. I'm also up on Twitter. Facebook alone has 100 million active users. By the way, the other thing is we're encouraging non-U.S. citizens outside the country to email or to send a letter. Absolutely. I'd love to see at least 100,000 come from outside the U.S. People outside the U.S. are going to be affected by the truth embargo and disclosure like everybody else, and they deserve to be heard as well. So I'm hoping that they will do that. And also, this is very important, in order to help me deal with the press here and make sure they're convinced that there's something going on, I need people, if they send a letter or a fax, to email PRG just with a quick note. Yeah, I sent my letter, sent my fax. If they send an email, then they just copy PRG, and it's PRG@ParadigmResearchGroup.org. Of course, all this information is up at the FactsOnWashington.org website. By sending me these notes or copying me, I then have the ammunition to deal with the press and say, look, this stuff is coming. They say, well, how do you know? I got 30,000 notices. But these letters and faxes are on their way. So I hope people will do that. Email me a note that you have sent your letter, sent your fax, or copy me your email.
Okay, and let's go over this. We wait. They can write the letter now.
They can get their letter written up any time in October, by all means. When you have a few minutes, just write it up. Put it aside.
And then as soon as we figure out who won.
As soon as we know, which hopefully we'll know by noon, probably on the 5th of November, then just address it to whichever candidate. Their senatorial address is right there at the website. Also, their fax page, their fax number, as well as the email page. It's like an email address. It's an email page. You go to that and you fill it out. Now, the fax number is going to be jammed. It's going to be hard to get through, but if you try, you can get through.
Well,
obviously,
yeah,
a letter.
I think people need to spend 42 cents and, have mailbags full, something physically they can touch.
The letter is, somebody sends a letter, and then they send a fax and an email, too. Right, love that, right? That's great. Love it. But if they're just going to do one, a letter is far more powerful than the other two, all right? This gets their attention, and it will be opened, and it will be looked at, which is very significant as well. And
because as you said, there may be money in there.
Yeah, well, they have to open up. They just have to. And in faxes, there's only so many a fax machine can handle. Emails can be deleted. Hundreds of thousands can be deleted in a few minutes. Mail, on the other hand, has got to be opened. It's got to be looked at. It's got to be shelved. It's got to be dealt with. And if the press is there, they're not going to be able to shove them out the back door. The word's going to start getting around. It's going to be rumors all over the hill that this stuff is pouring in.
Well, I think it's important that they CC you. So they know or email you and tell you they sent a letter.
Yeah, they don't have to copy me the whole letter, but they just say, look, I sent my letter to the president-elect on the disclosure. That's all I want to know. Right? Letter or fax. I need to know this. And I can go to the press and say, I got 30,000 notices of faxes and letters.
Can you handle a million emails?
Of course I can. I can, actually. Don't worry about that. This is the idea. It's pretty straightforward. It's not complicated.
Okay, we're about out of time. Let's go over that website again so they can go over and get the details.
The home base for the initiative is factsonwashington.com. I called it Facts on Washington because it has a nice ring to it, right? Like March on Washington, but it's really about letters, okay? The initiative is called Million Facts on Washington, which you can Google if you want to track the stuff that's being written about it. Just Google Million Facts on Washington.
Great.
The letters and faxes need to start going out on November the 5th. Prepare them in advance if you can, because we want to front load this. We want to get as many in early as possible. It'll either go to President-elect Obama or President-elect McCain, to their senatorial office, all that, again, at the website. And then when the actual transition office to the President-elect opens later in November, we'll then start directing the correspondence there.
And we'll be talking to you by then again.
Absolutely. We'll come in November. We'll see exactly how things are going.
Okay. Thanks very much, Stephen.
You're welcome.
Stephen Bassett, everyone. This is Jerry Pippin, and our producer and editor has been James Woodland. Until next time, cheers.